John Tammy there with us. Thanks for joining us today. John, tēnā koe, hoa.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. I just spoke with Tūraiti about the opening of Te Koha Health's new diagnostic facility in Kirikiriroa. That's happening today after 6 years. She's a real battler, and without governmental support, got a lot of philanthropic support. But it does remind me that Waipareira too are establishing a medical centre near Middlemore Hospital, but quite deliberately too, some papakāinga housing type for our older people, and right in touch with the medical facilities that they need in later life. Could you give us an overview about how Waipareira are involved in a new state-of-the-art medical facility complex near Middlemore Hospital, John?
Yeah, look, firstly, I just wanted to give a big mihi to Tūraiti. She's a battler. And they've brought innovation and initiative to deliver services to Māori. But as we all do, around 40-45% of our clients aren't Māori, because we have to manaake everyone, and that's part of our tikanga. So just looking after Manuhiri. So I think, you know, she's done an extraordinary job, and that diagnostic centre will as an early preventative programming issue, and it costs a lot of money to put them in place and to man them up. So I just wanted to give a big mihi to Te Koha Health, and Kini Tūheiti is part of the opening as well. On our where we're heading, we just can't wait for people who stand over us and contract us, but contract us for failure. And so what we've had to do here, and Te Koha has done it, is build a balance sheet where, in spite of and despite people, you innovate and you do the right thing by your communities. And so, for example, out at Hospital Road, Middlemore, that precinct has got hundreds of millions of dollars worth of health investment in it by the Crown, but it is so slow at moving to the needs of one of the fastest growing populations in Aotearoa, which is out in the south, and over here in the west. So what we're doing is building, our final order centre here serves around 30,000 people per annum. Over there, we'll be building a final order centre that has four times that capacity and capability. So here, it's just on 5,000 square metres. Over there, it'll be 22,000 square metres of care, ancillary space, you name it, from diagnostics, scan capacity, the ability for day surgeries, and a whole range of others. And so we build it, then we lease to specialists, because we build the hive, and all the bees come and make the honey, so to speak. So that's what's happening. And then about 134 houses or apartments will be built on the same site, and that they are being targeted for elders and social need and social care. See, a lot of our people have worked their guts out, but they've always been on low incomes. They've been either underemployed and very poorly paid, and so their ability to have something put away for their retirement is now proving very tough. And so what we've got to do is start targeting support for our people, who often an afterthought. And they're often an afterthought because other communities look after themselves first. Okay, and because Pākehā people hold all of the resources and all of the planning, of course they look after themselves first, and we're an afterthought. So what we've got to do is keep pushing ourselves forward for an equality of treatment in all the difficulties that are exhibited in health, welfare, education, justice, and housing. So that's what we're doing out there. And
what stage are you at there, John? I see the groundwork, because I drive past Middlemore a lot, I see the groundwork's done. Where would you describe where this COPUP is at?
The 134 units are coming out of the ground as we speak. So if you drive past there right now, all the substructural and infrastructural work, a lot of money is spent in piling and in foundations and in earthquake-proofing and future-proofing the buildings. And when it really takes off is when all the piling is in, all the substructural work is in, all the plumbing, all the power, all the cabling. That site is in the upper reach of the Tāmaki estuary. And so it has significant geostructural issues which require a whole range of pumping stations, et cetera. You know, so it's quite an expensive site to develop, but it's in a prime spot because it's on Middlemore Station, which will be the fourth largest station. You're talking tens of thousands of people a day percolating through the Middlemore Station on their way to Otahuhu, on their way to Papatoetoe, on their way to Mangere, on their way to Otara. It sits right in the middle there, as you know. And so it'll be one of the busiest stations on the Auckland network. Same with buses. So we have to build close to all the amenities so our people aren't pushed out to the extremities as usual, where it's made tough for them.
Tēnā koe, what is behind taking the Waipiraita brand out of West Auckland?
Investment opportunities. Auckland City Council have locked up the strategic land over here, and every time we've tried to unlock that, the Eki Pānuku is anything but that. So we can't sit idle, and so we have to move. The other reason why we've moved out there is that we have a very strong relationship with Ngāi Tai Ki Tāmaki. And Ngāi Tai are big land holders, and we've bought the land there off them and have worked this in a partnership in putting in place what we're doing out there.
Tēnā koe, John. I note Te Pāti Māori leaders are heading to the Gold Coast. There are so many of our people who call Australia home now but can still vote, and also acknowledging the last poll which saw a climb in support for Te Pāti Māori. How important is a visit like this to Australia and to connect the dots with those who are still eligible to vote in New Zealand but don't live here?
Well, look, 85% of Māori do not live in their haukainga. Right. And it doesn't matter whether they're in Sydney, Melbourne, or Auckland, but come from, say, Hikurangi. So what matters is that they have whakapapa, and what matters is that in a digital age, we remain connected, and we retain our motetes, and we retain our whakapapas, and we retain our waiata, and we retain our connectivity as international citizens of the world, so to speak. So we can never, as Ngāti Pro people, just using Ngāti Pro as an example, and 95% of value we're outside the area. But we have to remain connected. Our young ones have to know who their uncles and aunties and cousins are. What Te Pāti Māori is doing in Australia is lighting that fire to just say, no, part of being connected to who you are is being aware of what's happening to your whenua at home. Okay, and also to be very respectful of the Indigenous people of Australia, rather than acting as a coloniser. So we can be quickly hoovered up into the views and the ways in which mainstream Australians treat Indigenous people, which is just a bloody disgrace, and the way we've been treated here. And we should never go to another people's land and treat them the same the way we've been treated. So when Te Pāti Māori goes over there, this is an intergenerational build. It's a book build for our party, but it's also, more importantly, doing the work that a lot of iwi organisations should be doing. And they're going to have to gas up over the next generation. So, you know, there are no negatives to this for us as a people. And so we're really pleased to build Te Pāti Māori's organisation off the kapa hakas, because we have an organisational base already off the kapa hakas. And so that's why we're heading there. And it's going to be great, I think.
Tēnā koe, just finally, we're playing some big ball here with Winston and AUKUS and Pillar 2 and threats of Indochina and US geopolitical tensions. Te Pāti Māori obviously would like to have a say, but do you think that Winston's representing us in ways that many in New Zealand wouldn't want. What are you making of the Luxon and Winston Roadshow offshore?
Oh, look, I don't waste my time on thinking about things I don't have any control over. So what they are is merely a pawn to a US foreign policy. And and the sooner we seek our own neutrality and say that what's going on in Palestine is just unacceptable and has to stop, and the Yanks have to stop it because they're the ones mandating it all, you just got to call it out. You have to be honest to your own sovereignty. And would you want that done to you? And you have to measure the way in which people are treated and the responses to the way in which they have acted as if it was happening to us. The other point that I would make is that our military, you know, with our bloody machine gun mounted kayaks, ain't going to worry anyone. And I feel bemused at times when you hear media here trying to make out, Peter sends message to the UN. They do not care. Well, why would they worry about a nation that acts around 0.2% of economic largesse in a global village? We've got to be very careful about overrating ourselves and talking into our own little echo chamber. And we've also got to be very clear that we must assert our own sovereignty.